And I was kind of thinking and pondering who to get. And during the break, I walked out there, and as I looked out the window, I said, Lord, who do you want to sing this morning?
Bless him, Lord.
And about that time, I seen Brother Gill and his wife get out of the car, and the Lord said, her.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
So she came in the door, and I didn't waste no time. I asked her to sing, and she said she would.
Amen.
And so we're going to ask her to come today and sing, and you pray for her.
Right? Yes, Lord. Amen. Bless your children in your name, Betty.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
Glory to God in the
highest.
Amen.
Amen.
What a dream. Wonderful.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, be turning with us to the book of 2 Kings this morning, please. 2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. We're going to read the 15 verses this morning, and we won't be reading a verse together today. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we'll ask you to stand with us for the reading of God's Word. The Bible said, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife.
Bless you, Lord.
And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make a lion, that this man do ascend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he said to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and he went away. And he said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abna and Phinehas, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near.
Bless you, brother.
And he spake unto him and said, 'My father, if a prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?' And then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child.
Thank you, Lord.
And he was clean."
Amen.
May be seated. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, that we have it recorded here, Lord, in the Bible and in our hand. And we're thankful, Lord, that you've made it plenteous, Lord, in this world. Lord, especially where we live and many other places. Lord, we pray this morning that you'll open our hearts to receive this word as we break it down piece by piece.
Bless you, Lord.
That God will, Lord, use it to speak to the hearts of those that might be like Naaman today. And Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that they might hear this morning the word of God. You'd help us to have clarity today in the message. And then the clarity be accompanied by the Holy Spirit's conviction today. And then we pray today, God, that you'll deal with the hearts of those that are here today that are not saved. As you look down right now, Lord, you know exactly how many people's in this auditorium, and you know exactly how many people are not saved.
Yes.
And there's not a single one of them, Lord, that you want to die long, so go to hell and spend eternity there. You want them to be saved.
Yes.
And Lord, I ask you for your help today. Give us liberty today and much of the presence of God.
My brother.
And Lord, those that are saved today, I pray they get a blessing just from the word of God.
Yes.
We ask it all in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
His name fits him, I guess, if he is what his name means. The name Naaman means a pleasant man. And, you know, there's a lot in a name. A lot of people don't like their names and all that. But there's a lot in a name, and especially in Bible times. They would name people, and I think it still ought to be such. I think so more now than I used to, but I think it's important what you name your child.
Bless
you, Lord. And I heard about a fellow that his parents were older. They didn't have any children. They'd never been able to have children, and on up in years, to their amazement, surprise, she became a child, and God blessed them with a child. And because of her age, and because of what they thought people would think, and all of that, they said, "What shall we name him?" And they said, "Well, I don't know." They talked about Bill and John and Tom and other names, and finally they said, "Well, you know, this is odd, us being this late in life and everything." Said, "Why don't we just name him Bob?" And the boy hated his name all his life. He hated his name, and he tried every way to get away from his name. And finally he told his parents, he said, "Listen," he said, "I hate my name. I don't know why you'd ever name anybody that. And when I die, I want it nothing put on the tombstone. Don't put anything on there at all. I hate my name." And so he died, and they buried him. And years later, there's a couple walking through the yard, through the graveyard, and there's reading tombstones, and they came upon that one. There's nothing on it. And they said, "That's odd."
Yeah.
You see, you can't get away from your name. Whatever it is. And Naaman's, his name is pleasant. Pleasant. He was a pleasant man, it seems, if he fit his name. And not only that, but we know his position.
Yeah.
His position tells us that he was a powerful man.
Right.
That he was a man of power, a man of prestige, a man of position.
But
yet we read all of this in verse 1. We read that his plague that he had, plague of leprosy made him a pitiful man.
Yeah. Amen.
Because of the leprosy that he had. That's a terrible, awful thing, and he had this. And then this story in the Bible is a wonderful story, as all the Bible is.
Yeah.
I like this one, Brother Eddie, because it parallels with us.
That's right.
Amen.
You say, "What do you mean? I'm not like him. I'm not an army captain. I'm not an army general. I don't have leprosy." But the Bible said over in 1 Corinthians 10, and it's not talking about Naaman in particular. It's actually talking about the people of Israel.
Yeah.
But it says in verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonishment upon whom the ends of the world have come." And so it's saying that what we find in that Old Testament was written for us folks in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And it has an application to our life. Amen.
Amen.
And so I want to preach just a little bit this morning about Naaman. And if you're lost today, I hope you'll listen real good.
Amen.
If you're saved today, I hope that you'll remember what God's done for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Just simple this morning, but you know the Bible says, and I like the Bible, don't you?
Yeah.
I believe that's what helps folks.
Yeah.
And about three times this year, I've been in camp meetings or somewhere preaching away, and they introduced me, and I appreciated, want to say it. I hope it's true. They said, "We're going to have Brother Rick to come up, and he's a Bible preacher." Well, that's what I want to be.
Amen.
A Bible preacher. What else would you be?
Amen.
What else would you be? The Bible says that we're to preach the Word and be instant in season and out of season. The Bible tells us here, just look at what God wrote. It says there in verse 1 that he was a great man. That's what it said. He was a great man. Now, I don't believe it's saying here what it said one chapter back about the woman of Shunem. You say, what did it say about her? Well, it said in verse 8 of chapter 4, and there fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. You say, well, it said the same thing. I don't believe it is the same thing. I believe that woman of Shunem, I believe that she was a great woman of faith. She proves that. Amen. I believe that God was saying that this woman of Shunem was a great woman. Can I tell you that when God says you're great, you're great.
Amen.
You say, well, it said Naaman was great. No, I don't really say that. It said he was great with his master.
Yeah.
He was great with his boss. So you're great with your boss, but you're not too great with God. Amen. You say he was great with his master. His boss thought he was just everything, and he was a great man in the world. There's a lot of great men in the world. They've done great things, but they're not great with God. And like the woman of Shunem, and then the Bible tells us not only was he great with his master, but it said he was honorable. That means he was great with a lot of people. There's a lot of people thought he was great. You know, you might live in this town and everybody might think you're great because of you're honorable. You pay your bills. You don't go out on your wife. You treat your kids right, and you're honorable. They think you're honorable, but that still don't mean that you're great with God. Amen.
Amen.
And then I want to say this: he was great in might. The Bible said he was a mighty man of valor. He's an army general, an army captain, if you will. And he's mighty. He's good. He's a MacArthur. He's an Eisenhower. I mean, he's great at what he does. So the Bible said he was a great man. Now this morning, you might be a great wife. You might be a great kid. You might be a great worker. You might be a great all that. And that's all wonderful. And that's all good. And you ought to be. More important than any of that is, are you great with God?
Yes.
Amen.
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 Now Naaman had a grave disease. In verse 1 it says, but he was a leper.
Right?
I say grave in the sense that it's a serious thing. It would probably put him in the grave.
Amen.
People didn't recover from leprosy. They just didn't live from that. And you say, well, how is it that he's an army general if he's got leprosy? How is it that he's the great man that he is and all of that? I believe the answer is found back in Leviticus chapter 13. And the Bible, the whole chapter 13, the whole thing talks about leprosy.
Yes.
And I believe the answer is found in verse 12, where it said, and if a leprosy break out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he had leprosy, but maybe it hadn't broke out yet.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people that's got all kinds of diseases. It's in their bloodstream. They carry it, but it ain't broke out yet. He knows he is a leper, but the leprosy hadn't broke out yet. Now, let me say this. You are a sinner.
Yes.
Amen.
But it may not broke out yet.
Right.
Amen, yes. Brother Rick.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Right.
You get along in there about 12 or 13 or 14 years old, your parents have to keep watch on them. You'll have to watch them close. You'll say, why? That sin will be trying to break out.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. He'll try to show up in some other way. You know, in the Bible, it says that in Genesis 14, and in the 13th year, they rebelled.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's about the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you ever tried to raise kids and everything, man, it's a breeze about the first 6 years, 7 years, but keeps going. They get there about 13, boy, you better watch it. You say, why? Because in that 13th year, a lot of times they'll rebel. Now, not all of them, but rebellion is bound up in your heart. The Bible says that rebellion is bound up in the heart of a child. It's in there. It just may not have broke out yet. But if you're not saved, there'll come a day, Brother Eddie, when it will break out. Now, the Bible said he knew it. He knew it. He knew it. You say, how did he know it? Back in Leviticus 13, in verse 44, and it said, the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. The preacher told him. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You say, how do people find out they're a sinner? A lot of times a preacher tells
them. Amen.
He's preaching the Word of God. And the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means, my friend, no matter how good we live, how straight we walk, how honest we are, that means that when we put Christ down there and He is the standard, it's not me, it's not somebody else. When we put Christ down there, the Bible said everybody comes up a little short. And that's why we need to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. So He knew it. He knew He was a leopard. I'm praying this morning, if you reach the age of accountability, I'm praying this morning you'll find out that you are a sinner. I pray the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word of God, will let you know this morning that you are a sinner. Amen. That you do have a grave problem, and that problem is sin. It's in your blood. You got it from Adam. Amen. And that's where it come from. So He knew it. But then it says in verse 2, He had a little maid that waited on Naaman's wife. Not only did he know it, but his household knew it.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody else may have known it, but that little maid knew it. His wife knew he was a leper. And buddy, if I want to know you're a sinner or not, all I need to do is give me 30 minutes with your wife.
Amen, brother.
If I want to know, ma'am, if you're a sinner, just let me talk to your husband a little while.
Yeah, brother.
It may take longer than 30 minutes, but I'll follow you around, and there'll come a day when you'll be upset, and you'll blow up, you'll get angry, or he'll blow up, he'll get upset, he'll be angry. There'll be something that will reveal that you are a sinner. Amen.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen. Boy in the back seat of a car, and some folks are standing on the street corner handing out tracts, and finally this guy pulls up, him and his wife, some kids in the back, and he rolls the window down, and the guy said, "Sir, I'd like to give you a tract and tell you how to be saved, sir, and it'd tell you you're a sinner." And the man said, "I don't need that junk." He said, "I don't sin." And the little boy in the back seat said, "Oh, Daddy, you know you do." You see, your kids know whether you know or not.
Amen.
I've told it ever since it happened, and I'll probably tell it until I die. But a little old Kelby Cook, he got married the other day. Pray for him. He got married the other day, and little old Kelby Cook, he was in the Sunday school class back there, and the teachers were teaching about sin. And them teachers said, "Well, is everybody sinned? Has done sin? Everybody's done wrong. Everybody's sinned." And a little Kimmy raised his hand, and the teacher said, "Has anybody sinned in here this week?" And he's waving his hand. And she finally says, "All right, Kimmy," said, "have you sinned this week?" And he said, "No, but my daddy has." Your household knows. They know how you live. And then look at verse 4. The Bible said, and one went and told his Lord.
Amen.
Now that's not Lord like Lord.
Right.
That's Lord like the King.
That's right.
But his Lord knew.
Right.
Can I tell you this morning that your Lord knows that you're a sinner?
You're right, brother.
Your Lord knows that you and me, that we needed to be saved, that we have this grave problem in our life. And thank God He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, that you and I might be saved. Amen. Naaman was a great man. Naaman had a grave disease, Brother Eddie.
Yeah, brother.
But look here, I like verse 2. And the Bible says, but Naaman had a little maid.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, brother.
Said in Sarirans had gone by companies out and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. I want to say Naaman had a gentle little maid.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean? Well, she was just small. The Bible identifies that. It puts that word in there, makes an emphasis of it, that she's a small little maid. The Bible tells us there. And she was very unique little witness. And you say, what do you mean about that? Well, a lot of times folks think about witnessing Brother Josh, They think about somebody beating somebody over the head with a Bible, screaming in their face, shaking their fist at them, telling them they're going to hell. And there is some need of some of that sometimes, but that wasn't how she was. She was a gentle little maid. Amen. My wife used to work at the fabric store, and this fella come in there one day, and there's several customers in there, and this fella come in, and they run tanning beds in there, and they had some pictures on the wall, people going to the tanning bed or bin or whatever, and he come in and he started pointing them out. He went to preaching, hollering, screaming, tearing on, and finally left. This old woman standing there at the counter, and she said, "Who was that?" And they told her who it was, and she said, "Well, she said, you know what? She said, you can take an ear cord and pull off a little, and you can feed some chickens, or you can take the whole cob and hit them in the head and kill them." Amen. There's a lot of truth to that. Amen. And this was a gentle little maid here, the Bible says. Now she's very unique. You say, why is she unique? Well, she's unique in this sense. She's not bitter.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
I mean, she's been taken captive. We don't know what's happened to her family. We don't know if they were killed. We don't know what happened to them. But we know that she's not bitter about this. She don't hate her boss. She don't hate her master. She don't hate the family. You know what? When she said, "I wish my Lord, I wish he knew the prophet that is in Samaria, because he could help him." Amen. I'll tell you, that tells me she had the goods. Amen. That tells me that she didn't have any root of bitterness down in her that was about to spring up and cause some people to be defiled. You see, some people can never be a witness for the Lord because they're harboring bitterness about something that happened 30 years ago. There's people right now in Barron County. I know some of them been in this church. They wouldn't witness nobody or talk to nobody about God or attend a worship service. Why? Because somewhere, sometime, someplace, somebody done a little wrong to them they thought in church. And they let a root of bitterness spring up. They grew into a great tree. And they say, "I'll never go to church again. I'll never talk to nobody again. I'll never witness nobody again." Why? Because somebody did me wrong. I will grow up and get older. We've all been done wrong at some point in time. If you haven't been, just wait around. You will be. But don't let a bitterness grow up in your heart and become bitter and forget about other people that need God. Amen.
You
wasn't bitter.
Praise God.
Yeah. And I know some folks that are bitter. They ain't come close to having happened to them what she's had happen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let life make you bitter.
Bless him, Lord Jesus.
Let God help you to be made better.
Yes.
God can take whatever's happened in your life and my life, and it promises to the child of God that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according unto His purpose.
Amen.
That's right,
brother.
You say, what's that mean? Well, it's kind of like last week. Davies are at the house for a while. And I'll give my wife the credit. I seen her one morning in there. She's got Davy there, Eddie, and she's showing her how to make biscuits from scratch. You mean she's showing her how to open the can?
Yeah.
Some of y'all think that's from scratch. No, she's showing her how to make the dough and roll it out and cut them out. Amen.
Yeah.
And you say, that ain't no nothing to do with the Bible. You better read Titus. Amen. You better read Titus where the Bible says, teach them to be keepers at home. You say, what's that mean in the Greek? That means show them how to make pinto beans and cornbread and fried potatoes and pork chops. You won't get that in the King James. You have to go to the Greek to get that. Amen. But that's what it means.
That's right.
Amen.
It's the younger women.
Right.
Preaching up in Indiana one night, right on that line.
Yeah.
There's a lady sitting right where Penny is. The longer I preach, the redder her face got. I knew right then her daughter couldn't boil water. Amen. But here's the thing. The next morning, real early, I heard somebody up. Daphne comes in there. And she opens the cabinet door and she gets out
the stuff here.
Yeah.
And she gets out the flour and all this, and she makes her biscuits up, Eddie.
Hallelujah, brother.
And she rolls them out, and then she puts them in the oven and lets them cook, and then we eat them, and they were great. They were just as good as her grandpa's.
Amen.
But you say, what are you saying? I'm saying, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know why I told that. She wasn't bitter. Let me say this. Brave.
Yes, it was.
You say, what do you mean? For this little old girl to say that?
Right.
He kept it. To his wife to say, I wish my Lord knew the prophet in Samaria.
Yeah.
For her to say that, man, it could have meant Lord only knows what. She was brave.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, that's one of the things that may be missing in her life.
Yes, Lord.
You're right.
We don't have the boldness.
Right.
We don't spend enough time with Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible said when Peter, James, and John spent time with Jesus, the Bible said they were bold.
Yeah.
And they knew they'd been with the Lord.
Amen.
But here's this little old maid. Thank God we got some good young people here.
Yeah.
They'll go down to high school. I've been down there. They'll have Bible clubs. They meet sometimes over here on Sunday morning, have Bible studies. I get reports where they've witnessed, led somebody to Christ. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to know that takes bravery. Amen. And she was brave to even mention the fact that she knew that her Lord could help him. Amen.
Amen.
But then here's the thing. She must have been an example.
That's right. Yeah. A believer. Word.
You say, why? Because they wouldn't listen to her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If she'd been throwing temper tantrums and throwing stuff and bitter and anger and everything, they wouldn't have paid her no mind.
You're right, brother.
Right.
But they no doubt seen this little old maid there. And maybe she's a cleaning the house and she's just singing one of them songs while she's cleaning the house. And here's this little old girl, they bring her food in there and she just drops her head and don't say anything, but they know she's praying over her food. Maybe they look in the little quarters there where she stays at night. And they see her down there, and she's like this before she goes to bed. And they know that she knows what she's talking about. I can see the reason some of us, the reason some of you, that you can't get nobody saved, you can't get nobody to church, you can't get nobody to do anything for God, it's because they saw you down at the factory there, and they heard you cuss, they seen you throw something. They remember the lie you told them. And they don't have no confidence in you. That's what happened a lot. The Bible said he seemed like somebody that mocked. There was a little old girl. Brother Eddie, she lived a life.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so she got the word out, the witness out.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
She didn't preach a sermon.
Right.
She didn't scream and yell like I'm doing now.
Bless him, Lord.
She just said, I wish my Lord.
Yeah.
I wish he knew the prophet down there in Samaria.
Amen.
It don't take a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. Eddie knows that. Don't
you? Oh, yeah, brother.
Old story, and Eddie went. He wanted to go door knocking.
Yeah.
I said, all right, we'll go Thursday night. I handpicked somebody to go see. Lost. Eddie got out of the car. He had stuff like he usually does. He's backsliding, he don't do it no more. But he used to have about 300 tracks in his pocket.
That's
it looked like he's fixing to bust the pocket out.
Yeah.
True, brother.
We pulled up there and got out, walked up to the door there, and knocked on the door, and went up there and knocked on the door, and the door opened, and this fellow we worked with was standing there, and he looked at Eddie, and he grinned, and he said, you look just like an insurance salesman.
Yeah, brother.
I said, wrong thing to say. And so I am insurance salesman.
Yeah.
I'm not selling death insurance, I'm selling life insurance.
Yeah.
And he started in right there at Genesis, and he went all the way to Revelation. He told him about things in there, and some things that wasn't in there. He told him about the Antichrist, Mark of the Beast. We standing there an hour, and that guy about wore his shoe leather out, going from one hip to the other, and he kept looking at me, and he's like, can't you do something? I couldn't do nothing. There was no way to get in. And finally, after about an hour, he quit.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
We got in the car,
I got over on the driver's side of that old Pontiac Nemans I had, and I'm wore out. Heads over on the other side, he said, Pastor, I said, what? He said, you think I give him too much? I said, maybe just a little bit. I said, you don't have to put the whole can of worms on the hook to catch one. Just one worm will go.
Amen.
Amen. He's young. He's grown. Led a lot of people, Lord, since then.
Amen.
God's used him, but
yes,
that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Now, Naaman made three great mistakes here. Pretty important, and I point them out. Because hell is filled with people who made one or all of these three great mistakes.
Right.
You say, what kind of mistake did he make? Well, verse 5, it says, and the king of Syria said, go to go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. What was the mistake? He left the wrong way.
He thought
it'd be like you getting up this morning and saying, well, I think I'll get saved today. Where's my checkbook at?
Amen,
brother.
That's
right.
You see, money has no part in this thing.
That's right.
Amen. It don't matter how much you got or don't got. Either way, it ain't going to help you about getting saved.
Right.
Either way. Now listen. He thought he could buy it. He took 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold. Boy, it's a good thing he was going to the prophet of Samaria instead of going to these TV evangelists. They took all the gold. They took all the silver. And he'd still be lost going to hell.
Amen.
That's what's happened to a lot of people.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He thought he could buy it. Didn't work. So the next mistake he makes is he brought the letter to the king of Israel.
Right.
He thought he could buy it. He traveled to the wrong place. That ain't where he needed to go.
That's right, Brother Rick.
He didn't need to go to the king. He didn't need to go to this king here. That wasn't who God said go to the king of Israel. He traveled to the wrong place. Boy, a lot of people are lost today because they're traveling to the wrong place.
Bless you, Brother Rick. Bless you, Brother. Amen.
You say, what do you mean? They're going to a place that don't even believe the gospel.
Amen.
And if they don't believe the gospel, they ain't going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And they're going to a place where the man that's there ain't even saved himself.
Amen.
So he can't tell them how to be saved. How they're traveling to the wrong place. And you say, what's the right place, Brother Rick? The right place is to go where God has a man of God.
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen.
That knows he's saved.
Amen.
That can tell you how to be saved.
Amen. That's it right there, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then you said three mistakes. Yes, sir. Verse 11, 12. Well, let's back up a little bit. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. It'd be like somebody pulling up this morning in their Cadillac.
Yeah,
right.
Brand new Mercedes. It'd be like somebody pulling up in one of these $100,000 cars.
Bless him, Lord, use
it. And said, I'm coming to get saved.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah.
What you're driving this morning ain't got nothing to do with getting saved.
That's right.
Amen.
You may not even be driving. You may be walking shoe leather.
Right.
But it don't matter. Either way, it's got nothing to do. Nothing to do. With you getting saved.
Right.
He pulled up there. I mean, you can just feel the pride in that verse, can't you?
Yeah.
So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah picks up on what's going on. He don't even go to the door.
Lord.
He sends the messenger there.
Yeah.
The messenger goes and said, yes, sir. The preacher told me to tell you to just go down over here to Jordan and dip yourself 7 times and do it. Thank you. Good day.
Amen.
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 And Elijah was wrong. Fit to be tied. And he went away and said, behold, I thought.
Yeah.
That's why hell has a lot of people in it.
Yes.
Amen.
Because they said, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be some big thing. I thought that I'd see angels. I thought I'd hear bells. I thought I'd see Jesus. I thought I'd run around the church. I thought I'd do this. I thought I'd do that. But you know what? It ain't what you think. It's what God thinks. And I heard somebody say a minute ago when I was preaching, just something simple. You got it, bud.
Amen.
Every time the Bible talks about salvation, it's always something simple.
Thank you, Lord.
Isaiah 45:22, look you into all the ends of the earth and be you saved, because I'm God and beside me there's none other.
Amen.
This ain't hard to do.
That's right.
Amen.
Look.
That's right, Brother Rick.
The Bible says every time it's something simple, religion, help me a minute. That bottle of water of salvation, the Bible said as many as receive Him.
That's right.
Amen.
That's simple, ain't it? All I had to do is reach out there and get it.
Amen.
The Bible said, whosoever believeth on the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You say that believing's hard. God said He'd give you the faith.
Oh, yes.
Amen. We go on and on.
That's right, Brother Rick.
Bible says turn. It's not hard to do, is it? The Bible said confess. That's not hard to do. Everywhere in that Bible it talks about salvation. Everywhere. It's always in simplicity.
Right.
Yes.
That's why 2 Corinthians 11:2 says you be careful.
Yes. Right.
Let Satan draw you away from the simplicity that's in Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Rick.
So Naaman made 3 great mistakes. Don't you make them.
Right.
But then he didn't make the greatest mistake that a lot of people make.
Bless him, Lord.
He didn't stop there.
Woo!
Right.
And Naaman's servant, he points out here, and Naaman, he thought, he said, I'd surely come out. I thought he'd come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hands together over the place and recover the leprosy and look at something big.
Right.
You're here this morning, you're looking for something big. If you're looking for something big, you need to go look back 2,000 years.
Yes.
Something big.
Amen. God can be
real big.
Yeah.
Like the old boy went out there to the grand and he got there to the edge and he was just spellbound for about 10 minutes and then he said, something big happened here.
Amen, brother.
Something big happened back there at Calvary.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
3 days later, something really big happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Left the mark.
Naaman, he made 3 great mistakes. I like a story with a happy ending.
Amen, brother.
Amen. If you're saved, the Bible is a book that has a happy ending.
That's right.
Amen.
You say, well, he argued a little bit. He said, are not Abner and Phinehas, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and he went away in a rage. His servant came near. Thank God he had a little maid.
Yes.
Thank God he had a little humble servant.
Yeah, right.
He was also gentle. He was also brave. And his servant came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing,
amen, Brother Rick,
would thou not have done it?
Bless you, brother.
You know, people do that stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, go to Rome, climb up the steps, kiss every step.
Yeah.
Kiss the door, they'll do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Something's hard to do, you know. Put 40 hours of service in a month like some of these cults do. Right. People will sign up to do something like that.
Amen.
But you just tell them to do what the Lord said, believe and be saved.
Yeah.
Oh, there's got to be more to it than that.
Yeah.
There was more to it than that.
Yeah.
There was more to it than that. But the big part was his part.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. He did it all.
Yep. He said, if he'd asked you to do something simple, wouldn't you do it? I'd much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean.
Hallelujah.
Pretty simple, ain't
it?
Yeah. Go, wash. Be clean.
Amen.
Well, thank God on Naaman. It's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Sure. Because verse 14 said that then he went down.
Glory, brother.
Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Bible's a wonderful book.
It sure is, brother.
Just amazes me, Eddie, yeah, how God put every word in there.
That's right. Fill it, John.
Yep. He said, then he went down.
Amen, brother.
So he's been up here on a high plane. He's been up here on pride.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
But now he's coming down.
Yep. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
Praise God.
Praise the good Lord.
That's what you need to do.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
You need to step out and you need to
come down.
Yeah.
You need to lay aside your pride and get away that old foolish stuff. I'm an old man.
Yeah.
Old man.
Yeah. I'll get by. I can do it. I've always made my own way.
Thanks a lot.
You need to get off that stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you need to come down.
That's right.
Amen.
You need to listen to that words of that song. I can't even walk without holding my hand.
Amen.
I've seen some of the bad boys. I've seen some of the big boys, and they're rough and tough when they're about 50 or 55. Yeah. I've talked to them. I've been in the rooms, in the nursing home, the hospitals. When life has knocked all the wind out of them, they can't even bathe themselves. They can't even clean themselves.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you need God.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
He's like an adder to him.
Then he came down, and then there was great obedience.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you ever notice this? Bible said he dipped himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is that what it says?
Yes, yeah. Sir, right.
He said he went down and dipped himself. Wow. Wouldn't even no preacher fall.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, wouldn't even no prophet fall.
Right.
He just walked down there and jarred him. And I don't think he can do this.
Yeah.
I think it probably went like that. One,
yes.
Two,
yep.
Three, and the devil said it ain't working.
That's right. Brother.
Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
You ain't feeling nothing.
That's right.
Ain't nothing happened.
Yeah.
I quit if I was you.
Yeah.
That's him.
Four.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord.
Eight.
Five. Bless him, Lord.
Hey, boy, it ain't working. It ain't going to happen.
Bless him, Lord.
Said seven times.
Right.
Yeah.
Six. Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about that?
Amen.
And when he was completely obedient to the word of God, it happened.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
He'll do it.
What a difference.
Amen. When you are completely obedient to the word of God, humble yourself, or confess you're a sinner, believe on Christ, accept him, it'll happen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, amen, brother. I can definitely vouch for that.
Great obedience.
Yeah.
You say what happened then? It says there in verse 14, and he was clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
I like that.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He was clean.
Hey.
Somebody said, what's getting saved like? It's like taking a bath on the inside.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Amen.
He was clean.
Amen.
Where he is dirty at, nobody could clean him.
That's right.
That's right. Right.
It ain't talking about that water washing dirt off.
You're right.
Yes.
Right.
He was clean down deep inside.
That's right.
Yeah.
That leprosy wasn't on the outside, boy. It's on the inside.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that sin, it ain't on the outside. It's on the inside. It may show up on the outside, but the root's on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
He was clean.
Lord.
And then I like this. Seven times he was clean.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And he said, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 15.
Amen.
I know.
That's right.
Take good.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
right, brother.
I believe you know, brother.
That's right, brother Rick.
Amen.
That's right.
I believe you ought to know. I believe you better.
Amen.
I believe you can,
brother. Amen, brother.
Amen. And you know what? I know he got saved.
That's right.
You say why? He's wanting to give, and he got the church yet.
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But hey, he wouldn't take it.
Right.
Sometimes it's not offering time.
Right.
Sunday morning is an offering time. Brother Stacy, I preached the funeral. When the funeral home would call me and they'd say, preacher, we can't get a hold of nobody. We got this couple that got this little baby that died and they ain't been here long.
Yes.
And they don't have anybody do the funeral. Could you help us? I said, yeah, I knew it. I go down there and the Old Naaman. Old Naaman was a great man. Old Naaman had a grave disease. Old Naaman, thank God, God put a little maid in his life. Maybe God's put somebody in your life. They've been softly and tenderly telling you about Jesus. Naaman made three great mistakes. I don't know if you made these three or not. But I tell you, if you leave today and God spoke to your heart without getting saved, you've made a great mistake. But old Naaman, he received a glorious mission. The greatest miracle is not getting your leg fixed. Greatest miracle is not getting healed of some awful disease, though that's great. But the greatest miracle is like Marla sang. Salvation. How many saved?
Miracle in me. Amen.
Thank you, put them down. You've had the greatest miracle happen in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
That God can ever do.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're not saved today, you can be today. If God spoke to your heart, the Holy Ghost has let you know you're lost. You realize today you need to be saved. God will save you. Now's the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation.
Amen.
I hope you'll come today.
Yes, won't you come?
Find you a place around here somewhere out there, over there. Find your place, just bow your head. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe what you did on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe if I trust you, Lord, I trust my soul to you. I believe I can trust you, Lord, to get me to heaven with this life.
Amen.
God save you.
Yes, he will.
Amen. Let's stand today, if you would, please. I want to ask all the Christians today to pray. We do have several people here today that are lost. This is why the Lord led me to preach this simple salvation message today. God loves you. God cares about you.
This morning, a great
murder lost today. I hope you'll come. And I'll take the word of God and I'll be down here. If you don't need help, I won't bother you. If you need help, I'll take the word of God and show you what God says about being saved.
Lord, you can leave today. I'm all sin. I pray somebody get that victory today. Somebody get that, Lord, which you died to give.
All right.
A cure for them.
Why are we saying? You need to come.
19.
Help, Lord.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and shall be saved. water today. If you just slip up where you're standing, some of you, you good people, you stay there been saved. You need to be saved. You got to be saved. Your neighbors may say, "Aren't you?" They may say you're good. They may say you're good down the workplace. The worst estate with God. Do you have a place where you've ever come down and ask the Lord, "God, save me"? I want to go to bed tonight, pillow my head, and know that I know that I know.
Yes.
The Bible said, "Name and name." When you do it right now, just slip out and come down here and meet this preacher at the altar. We'll take it to the Lord. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can help you. I believe God's a dealing with people this morning. I believe there's lost people here this morning that have never been saved. And God's telling you this morning, today's the day. You need to come. Do it. By the grace of God. Will you come this morning, up today? Nobody's looking. The best I can see. Maybe just me. Not that it matters. The whole world's looking on. It don't matter. What matters is you're lost and going to hell. You need to see.
Yes.
Help today, Lord.
Will you come? Will you do it right now? Just hop over Sunday morning and come to the Lord and settle in here at an altar. Settle in here at an altar. Will you do it? God loves you.
That's my
faith, Lord. Son, he gave him for you. He died for you. He truly, truly wants you to get saved. Preacher, when you get saved, I was 10 years old and I got saved. In a service like this, preacher preached. Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. I didn't know much, but I knew a pull from heaven was telling me to go.
Yes.
And I went that morning and I knelt and God read my heart. God saved me that morning. I'm on one of these days, step out in eternity on what God did for me in 1964 when I believed the gospel and trusted his son.
Yes.
Do it this morning. Will you come?
Help someone.
Wait right, just a minute here. I want you to come. God is giving you your heart. The body's your body. Somewhere along in the middle, up to the front, God's giving your heart. You come down. You do it.
I pray, Lord, each
step. Just do it today. The neighbor said that he was going.
Are you?
those who came today responded in a positive way to the message of God this morning. I know there's people here not saved.